Turning back to Galatians chapter 3 and 4. And let me read those passages again. Galatians 3 and 4. Beginning in verse 21 of chapter 3. Is then the law against the promises of God? What is Paul's answer? Quickly, God forbid. Here is the reason. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, therein is the problem with us. Our problem is not just our works are not up to par. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. The scripture would put it this way. We're in such a despicable state that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
So then, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Now notice it doesn't say all are sinners, though that's true. It says we are all under sin.
Exactly.
That indicates bondage.
Yes.
That was our position by nature. That is our position by nature, is bondage under sin. Have concluded all under sin. Now notice, it's all under sin. And the preponderant testimony of Scripture is that none without exception. Okay, everyone without exception is under sin.
Yeah.
Right? But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all. Is that what it says?
No.
It says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's the same thing John 3:16 says. God loved the world enough to send His Son to save believers.
Yes, sir.
And that's it.
Exactly.
But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. There again, the Apostle Paul has stressed our bondage by nature.
Yeah.
Right? Shut up.
Yes, sir.
And it is to a faith which should afterwards be what? Revealed. You don't work faith up.
Yeah.
The faith that man can work up is of no value even in God's sight.
Exactly.
For instance, there are those who believe or have faith in Allah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They cannot simply take that faith and then believe in Jesus with that faith. It is not of God. Man by nature has faith,
oh, yeah.
But it's not the faith of God's elect.
Exactly.
It is not only a different brand of faith, it's a different kind of faith. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And actually, it's schoolmaster unto Christ. The law itself doesn't bring you to Christ. The law itself teaches you that you are in absolute need of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And if you don't understand that in the law, then you don't understand the law.
Yeah.
If you think that when the law says, thou shalt not steal, so that means if I quit or keep from stealing, then God will accept me. Because the law doesn't say to stop sinning or stop stealing. The law says, thou shalt not.
Amen.
And if you or I do, then the law says you must be condemned. It's not there is a place of forgiveness. If you steal, the law says you're condemned. Correct?
Amen.
To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, and notice again, faith comes. It's not worked up. Not exercised. Faith is not something that's in men and then they have to exercise it toward God. Faith is something God Almighty gives them from without. It invades the individual. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the sons, not children. The King James Version is wrong there. It is not the word, Greek word for children. It's the Greek word for sons. And somebody says, well, a son is a child. It's not so in the truth of Scripture. It's just not so. A child of God is a child of God. A son of God is one who has been regenerated and converted.
Yes, sir.
That's what Paul will go on in just a moment to basically teach. For as many of you, for you're all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice, to be baptized is a passive thing. I don't know anybody, well, yeah, I do too. I shouldn't even say that. There are people who baptize themselves. You know what we call them? There's a word we call for that.
Yeah.
Idiots. Only an idiot baptizes himself. Because the whole part of the Greek word is passiveness.
Yeah.
A person is baptized. Somebody else is the baptizer. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that must happen first, in which you and I, any person, is absolutely passive. This is not water baptism. This is God Almighty baptism.
Yes, sir.
For as many of you as been baptized into Christ, they then do what? Put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one, where? In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now Paul will define this thing about children and sons. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But one thing is true from Paul's example. The child has always been a child of the Father.
Amen.
He doesn't become a child of the Father. He's born a child of the Father. In this natural illustration. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, what an infant, that's the Greek word there. As long as he is an infant, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors for how long? Until God Almighty says so.
Exactly.
That's basically what he's saying. Until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were what? Children. Were where? Now what's the whole context? What's the sense? We were God's children.
Yes, sir.
But we were God's children. No, not but. We were God's children even when we were in bondage.
Yes, sir.
What bondage? The bondage of the law.
Yeah.
Even there. Even when I was born, David, I was born physically a child of the living God, if I was a child of the living God.
Yes, sir.
Even so we, when we were infants, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There we see it. The point is this. People do not go from being a child of the devil to being a child of God.
Exactly.
If you are a child of the devil, you will remain a child of the devil everlastingly.
Yeah, that's it.
And you will perish under the wrath and judgment of God Almighty.
Yeah.
But if you are a child of God, you won't just go to heaven. You will be placed as a son.
Amen.
You will be given faith in Christ Jesus. And you will believe him.
Amen.
That's what Paul's teaching here.
Yeah.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we, what the redeemed, not one more, not one less.
That's right.
That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts crying. That is, we actually cry out. But who is the one that causes us to do this?
Yes, sir.
The Spirit of God. Anything I do that honors God,
yeah,
I cannot take credit because it's not me that come up with it.
Exactly.
It's God Almighty that causes it.
Yeah.
What is it? The fruit of the Spirit is. Not even, it doesn't even say the fruit of the new nature. Does it? It says in this book, this very epistle, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, if I have faith, it's only mine as a gift. It's God's intrinsically. God is the only being that owns faith as His own.
Yes, sir.
It's His. That's why it calls it the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, and an equivalent today would be, not just God's my Father, but He's my Papa.
Yes, sir.
Even the most immature believer will be brought to this.
Yes, sir.
Papa and Father. I'll talk about this some more later, but Joe, that has to do with some knowledge too.
Yes, sir.
You will know this, or you've not been placed as a son.
Yeah.
And if you've not been placed as a son, you may or you may not be a child of God.
That's it.
The only way you can know you're a child of God is when God places you as a son. That's the only way. Because if you're not placed as a son, you've got a 50-50 shot at it. If you want to say, I'm this or I'm that, maybe you are, maybe you're not. I mean, I can imagine. I can see it. I know I've said it before. I can see it now. They sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, you know? Or the one, and it may be the same song, Jesus loves all the little children of the world. You know what? The Scripture declares that to be a lie. Because it said concerning that little baby Esau, that woman held in his arms, God said, that boy I hate.
That's what it said.
And God not only hated him, God had rejected him. Before he was born, before he'd either done any good or evil.
Amen.
God does not love everybody.
Exactly.
And there's some babies God hates.
Amen.
You go ahead and mark it down. And I'm not even going to go there because people want to know where do babies go when they die. As I've stated before, the only thing I could do, this is still my opinion, I don't believe there's one baby in heaven.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you want to be in heaven that long for the rest of your life, for eternity?
Exactly.
Do you?
Exactly right.
I don't want to be there for time.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be gone from that.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be that big.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back. You know where I want to go? Forward. Forward. But let me move on now. And because you're our sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In other words, God's children are brought into a relationship with God. God has always had a relationship with them. They're His children by His choice. Now that's something you and I didn't get a chance to. I didn't get to choose my children. Sadly, my parents didn't get to choose theirs either.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. God Almighty chose who His kids would be.
Amen.
And it's not just God looked down into the mass of humanity. God Almighty determined who would be the mass of humanity.
Exactly.
Because God can kill you or I at any moment.
Yes, sir.
He could have killed me in the womb. He could have caused me never to even existed in the womb.
That's right.
People always talk about God looks down into the future. God don't look into the future. God creates the future.
Amen.
God determines the future.
Amen.
God Almighty ordains everything in the future.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because it happens.
Yeah.
Somebody said, did God mean for that to happen? My only reply is this, did it happen?
There you go.
If it did, God meant for it to happen.
Exactly.
And I will even add this. I know that one politician got in trouble and then started backpedaling. I don't care if it's rape, incest, murder, or whatever. They murdered our Lord God,
yes,
Jesus Christ. And God Almighty said he predestinated that.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you, there's nothing you can do more heinous in this world than to hate and kill the Lord of glory.
Amen.
People can do stuff to me. You know what? I deserve it.
Yeah.
You know that? I deserve worse than I've gotten so far. Now, let me just move on. I'm not even going to preach on that. Wherefore, thou art no more a what? A servant, but a son.
Amen.
And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But now here's the point. Here's the problem that Paul was dealing with. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. In other words, God has changed you. You're different now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You used to be this way, but now God's changed you now. Something's happened, and he tells us what's happened. You've been placed as a son. Now God is your papa, your father.
Amen.
But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly elements? In other words, in our day, we would call that asinine. Why would you want to go back to the bondage you were once under?
Amen.
There's only two reasons. One, you've been tricked into it,
yeah,
bewitched into it. Or two, you still right exactly where you always was.
Yeah, exactly.
You've professed to be brought out of it, but you ain't.
Right. That's true.
Somebody says, you're mean. I ain't near as severe as God Almighty is.
Yeah.
And we read that last week, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
Behold the severity of God. God Almighty's pleased to damn some folk.
Yes, sir.
And he actually told some folk, he said, I'll laugh when your calamity comes.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what God said?
Yep.
He said, whenever your calamity comes, I will laugh at you.
Yeah.
God's not going to be up there, oh, well, if I could have just done one more thing. No, he's going to mock them.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The word for laugh there. It's not a happy laugh. It's God's going to mock the calamity of the wicked. You know why? Because I have no more, and they have no more word of God, Joe, than I do. And you know what? I have no more will than they do.
Exactly.
That's why it all depends on God's will.
Amen.
That's why God, through the Apostle John, said, when a man is born, he's not born of flesh. No, he's not born of blood. He's born of God, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man.
Amen.
How's he born? He's born of God.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul's clear. It is not. And what is the it he refers to? God's mercy, God's compassion, God's election, God's forgiveness. Everything that has to do with the blessings of God in Jesus Christ, he says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Why? Because my will is no better today than it was when I was born in trespasses and in sins.
Right.
It's not that I don't have a will. It's just that my will's corrupt.
Exactly.
It's not that I don't make choices. I make choices all the time.
Yeah.
The problem is I always make the wrong choices.
Yeah. Exactly.
I always pick the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I did it for years. When God first sent me the truth of the gospel through Joe Galusik, you know what I picked? My opinion rather than that truth. But thank God, Joe, the gifts and the calling of God are without change. God had purposed to give it to me, and have it I would. But let me tell you, my life has never been the same since. Now, having read this, Paul's basically saying, why in the world have you turned back to where you used to be? But now here's the thing. I thought about this. We've looked at the overview of the adoption. And let me just give you that before I go any further. Let me just sum up everything so far. Adoption is not strictly Jewish. Right? Adoption is not strictly Israelite. Thus making a distinction between even the two. Adoption is not even New Testament ecclesia. Strictly, is it?
No.
It's not just for the church.
Sir.
Adoption is election based, blood bought, and faith enjoyed.
Yes, sir.
That's what election is.
Yes, sir.
The Jews who find themselves there are the true Israel of God. Israel of God. Spiritual Israel. Those who are Israelites indeed.
Exactly.
Those who are true Jews. But every Gentile as well who is under that precipice, under the auspices of the election, blood redemption, and faith salvation, every one of them is an adopted son as well. And we weren't adopted out of the devil's family into God's family. We were placed as sons.
Yes, sir.
From a child of bondage to a son of freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. Now here's the thing. I want to start now looking at the experience of the adoption. Now we will, Lord willing, get to the responsibilities, and I'm going to add now, since we're getting closer to it, the responsibilities that accompany the adoption. That's what Paul's talking about in the last part here. How be it then ye turn again? It's kind of stupid. There's all kinds of words. Kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Paul calls it being tricked. Being bewitched, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's what he calls it. But anyway, we'll look at that later. First now I want to begin to consider what is it to experience the adoption. But before I do, we've got to look at the ground. The foundation. We've got to look at where we really were and where we really are, still yet, by nature. So first of all, I want you to look at this tangled weave of bondage. Because there's something, and I hope I can express this in human language the way I know that it says it here. Now I could go back and just read it, but you know, the fact is, folks, sometimes we're so dull we can't just read it and get it. And I say this not to boast in myself, because I am nothing. I am nothing. But God Almighty's also ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, He ordained to save them that believe.
Yes, sir.
And God's ordained us to learn through instruction from others. I don't learn of myself, David. I read others and learn from God's Word and what others have said about it as well. I learned for like 20-some years under Earl Cochran. As I've told you, there's nothing that a sinner hates worse than for God Almighty to send a sinner to him to tell him that they're a sinner. I didn't like it. When Joe Galoos had come along, I said, how can this be? He smokes cigarettes. Now, sorry, Joe, I had to tell on you. That was my big problem with God's Word. Or was it? That was my excuse. Because I didn't use cigarettes. He did. Therefore, something must be wrong with him. Well, Joe, you was just a sinner like anybody else.
Exactly.
Just like I'm a sinner, just like anybody else here. But there is something different between the sinners who've been told by sinners that they're sinners. That God sent this sinner to tell them that they're a sinner. Two things. One, they recognize and always remember, I'm a sinner.
Yes, sir.
And two, they recognize and cannot help but always remember, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And that means in its truest sense, He's my Lord. That means He will do with me as He pleases.
Yes, sir.
If He wants to have all both of my legs and both of my arms cut off in a car wreck when I go home this evening, that'll be His business.
Yeah.
And if He wants to take my wife from me on our way home, that's His business. He'll do what He wants to do. But if He wants to give me a job tomorrow for $100,000, David, He'll do that too.
Yeah.
And it's up to Him.
Exactly.
He's not asking me my opinion.
Exactly. That's it.
Why? Because He is my Lord. And He's Lord first.
Yeah.
There is no one who experiences Christ as Savior that experiences Christ.
Yeah.
Knows it conscientiously, knows Christ as Savior until they've been bowed to Him as Lord. And Lord, He's not a half God.
Exactly.
He's not a partial God. Masons like that fellow you was talking to basically say, well, I believe God's like partly sovereign. Or he's at least mostly sovereign. Like 95-5, you know? 95% sovereign, 5% not. Listen, if you lack any percentage whatsoever, you're not sovereign.
Exactly.
They don't even know. They even refuse to acknowledge the actual meaning of words.
Yes, sir.
Let alone truth. You know, you can't even have a decent conversation with most folk.
Right.
Jackasses have known more truth,
yes, sir,
than unregenerate men.
Amen.
Balaam's ass is an example of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And right here's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought y'all would laugh more than that on that one. I thought y'all would say some amen on that one. Hey, some folk who have. Look at this tangled weave of bondage. Think about it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to prove this point per se. Most of the people in Galatia, and it wasn't just one local assembly. It was the churches of Galatia. It was an area. And there were churches, you know, we don't know how many. The churches of Galatia. Most of them were mainly Gentiles. And I could go through a lot of things here to try to show that, but look, the one thing, how, verse 8 of chapter 4, how be it then when ye knew not God? Now, granted, we could say that of Jews, but the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles was the Jews had been committed the oracles of God. Yeah. They were given God's word,
yes,
and were instructed on a regular basis from God's word as to who God was. Gentiles weren't. They were just out there.
Yeah.
They didn't have no prophets. You know, even when Jonah was sent to Nineveh,
yeah,
Jonah didn't come in bringing them the law. He basically said, God's going to condemn all of you.
Yeah.
That's why he come in, preaching the message of condemnation. Now, the point is, these folks were mainly, most of them were Gentiles. Yet even they, according to the Apostle Paul, were under the law. Right?
Yeah.
Now look at it. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that what? We, Paul, right, I'm not that smart, but Paul, when he says we, he means me and the people to whom I'm writing. Right? That's simple enough. You included.
Yeah.
These people of Galatia, right? So they were under the law. But in what sense? In the sense that Paul says in Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know, whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped. And as Earl used to say, and it dawned on me when he said it this way. He said, God's law says, shut up. Do not speak of your own righteousness. Just shut up.
Exactly.
But I did this. Just shut up.
Yeah.
That's what the law says. But I haven't done that. Just shut up. That's what the law says.
Yeah.
Just shut up. That every mouth may be what? Stopped.
Yeah.
And what? All the world become guilty. Where? Before one another? No, before God. You see, the law is proof to God whether it's proof to me or not.
Exactly.
God has put the proof out there whether I see it and know it or not.
Amen.
And there is an old adage, and it does apply, ignorance is no excuse.
That's right.
Because that same apostle says, even concerning Gentiles who have not the law, God wrote it in their heart. And that's why they either accuse or excuse one another over certain things. As I said, you have the tribe of cannibals. They don't eat each other. They eat other tribes.
That's right.
Right? Why? Because how are you going to keep on going if you're eating grandma and grandpa?
Exactly.
I have a couple kids and I decide to make a meal of them, Joe.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you're going to run out of food.
That's it.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's tough to eat yourself. You ever tried that? I'm being facetious now. The point is, even some, you know, we think of cannibalism. I mean, you know, that's one of them things, you know, that's almost like the unpardonable sin, cannibalism, right?
Exactly.
That, child molestation and rape.
Yeah.
And smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's right up there next to the unpardonable sin.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But you think about this. In God's sight, a wrong thought is as vile as feasting upon human flesh. To steal an eraser from work is just as much rebellion against God as murder is. Because it's all what? Sin. It's all sin. So let me move on. Here were Gentiles, yet they were under the law. Now here's the kicker, and I'm going to try to explain this. All bondage is equally bondage, no matter what kind of bondage it is.
Yes, sir.
Because notice, these Gentiles were not people who were trying at one time to keep the law to be righteous in God's sight. What were they doing before? They were serving other gods. They were idolaters, weren't they? Their problem wasn't trying to keep the law for righteousness before God. Their problem was they was worshiping rocks and sticks and bugs and the moon and the stars, right? That was their problem. Yet Paul here equates all bondage equally as bondage.
Exactly.
In other words, legalism, the bondage of it now, equals idolatry.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
And vice versa. Well, at least I'm not an idolater. Doesn't matter. If you're a law keeper for righteousness before God's sight, if that's what you're trying to do, it's just as much bondage as idolatry is. You see, that's the whole point he's making. They were going back not to idolatry, David, but they were turning now to the law for righteousness or justification before God. But Paul says that's bondage just as well. You've left basically one bondage for another bondage. Or you left one bondage, professed to know Christ, now you've turned back to something else, but it's bondage just as well.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But that struck me like a lead weight when I seen that.
Yeah.
And you know what, David? I've known that for years. And yet all of a sudden it just struck me once again.
Exactly.
What is legalism? Legalism is not trying to honor your mother and father. That's not legalism. Legalism is trying to honor your mother and father and gain God's favor by it.
Exactly.
That's legalism.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with honoring your mother and your father.
No, sir.
Now somebody says you can't do that. You can't do it like the law demands completely, but even the New Testament tells believing children, honor your mother and the law, because it's the only commandment with what? Promise. I mean, there are people who think that we dislike the law because we're grace people. No, I don't dislike. I love God's law.
Yes, sir.
Because God's law continually, even now today, shows me what I really am by nature.
Exactly. That's it.
I'm up here preaching all this scripture and Bible, but on the inside is nothing but the filth and foulness and corruption of fallen Adamic humanity. And if it wasn't for the restraining grace of God, I would be the worst thing that ever walked on the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
I don't like that, but I know that's the truth.
That's exactly.
Because God's let me know how far I can go.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I can go even farther.
You're right.
Because there's always something, David, I can look at somebody else and say, well, at least I ain't done that. But you know what? I'm capable of it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Yeah. I'm capable of it. Think of this bondage. Legalism. Law works for righteousness before God. And that's what Paul actually says in Galatians 3:10. Whoever's under the law is under the curse, because cursed is everyone that continueth not in what? All things. And the law is not a decalogue.
Yeah.
The law is not 10 commandments. It is well over 600 commandments.
Yeah, exactly.
And my problem is I got trouble with the first one.
Exactly.
To love God with all I am.
Yeah.
I can't even muster up to that one. Joe, if I spent my whole life just trying to do that one, I would be what? Ignoring the other 600 and some.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And basically our Lord said that it's summed up in two.
Yeah.
Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. All your strength.
Amen.
And do what? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I can't do that. Because I don't love you like I love me.
Amen. It's the truth.
I ain't bragging.
No.
I'm telling you that's the truth.
Yeah, it is.
And there's some people out here in this world I don't care about.
Exactly.
Some of them I don't even know about.
Yeah.
There are thousands that will die this day, horrible deaths. And you know what? I don't give it another thought.
Yeah.
I know it's happening to them. David, by past experience, by watching the news, I know today will probably be like yesterday for thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know what? But I go on about my life doing what? Going to work, making money to pay my bills, feed my belly, put clothes on my back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I really cared about them, what would I do? Get two jobs and send part of the money to them, wouldn't I? How many of us are doing that? That's what loving your neighbor as yourself is. You got to have one job to feed yourself, then get two and feed somebody else. That'd be loving your neighbor as yourself, wouldn't it? There might be somebody out there that's doing that, but guess what? Then you got to love God with all you are. I mean, it is a no-win situation when it comes to the law. It's what legalism is. But what is idolatry? It is the worship of false gods and false religion. Right? That's what idolatry is. But what about immorality? You know what immorality is? It is the indulgence and the worship of self. That's what immorality is. And Scripture, there's nothing wrong with that word. But Scripture doesn't call it immorality. That actually is a cleaned up version. You remember the word, and it's an old English word Earl used to use. It's called lasciviousness. And you know what that means? It means slobbering after fleshly things. That's what it means. To sit there like a dog does over a bone. And you know, and the stuff runs out. That's what it's talking about. And let me tell you something. By nature, that's me.
Exactly.
By nature, that's me. Immorality, the worship and indulgence of self. And Paul says that's wrong according to Galatians 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. He says people who live like that, they do that thing, guess what? They will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
Well, what if they're one of the elect? Then he'll adopt them as sons, and they'll find out who their daddy really is. They'll start serving him rather than themselves.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And somebody said, but these turn back. Yeah, and Paul said, I stand in doubt of you because of it. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they were, some of them were the elect. Yeah, guess what he said about the ones he knew were elect. Look, let me read it. Let me find it. Verse 10 of chapter 5. I have confidence in you.
Yeah.
How, though?
Yeah.
Through the Lord. That ye will be. Not might be, not ought to be. Might be if something this and that. No, you. Why? Because you've been warned. If you've been given life that's eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive, and you're in the wrong, and God sends you a messenger to tell you you're in the wrong, guess what? He sent that messenger to you to correct you and turn you back again to the right path, and you will.
Yes, sir. Yes, you.
Because if you don't, Scripture says you're a bastard and not a son.
Exactly.
You're illegitimate then.
Yeah.
That all fits right in, don't it?
Yes, sir.
I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise, and note that word, minded. But he that troubleth you, that's a different story. What about the person that's causing this to you?
Yeah.
What about the huckster that's come around and bewitched you, David? You know what Paul says?
Yeah.
He ain't worried about him.
Exactly.
Now, is he?
No.
Basically, in chapter 1, he says let him go to hell. Let him be accursed.
Amen.
That's the only thing that can mean.
Yep.
That don't mean he go break out with bulls. That happened to Job. He was one of God's, wasn't it?
Exactly.
In the end, the difference between God's people, between the elect and the reprobate, is going to be this. The elect are going to be worshiping Christ right there with Christ. The reprobate. See, I almost said non-elect, and I hate that. The reprobate will be in the lake of fire under the judgment of God. That'll be the difference.
Yes, sir.
So think about this. Even this, it's all safe. The bondage of legalism is, that bondage is still bondage. I mean, I told you this before. I've heard it. I heard it with my own ears. I heard a grace preacher, a preacher who I love to hear preach, say this. I'd rather be a drunk than a legalist because there's more hope for a drunk. That ain't so.
No.
Scripture doesn't teach that. His doctrine may lead him to that.
Yeah.
But anyway, God saved a legalist. He wrote this book right here, Galatians.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
So don't tell me there's more hope for a drunk than a legalist.
No.
Now, God may save more drunks than he does legalists, but I don't even find that in the book either, do you?
No.
You see, why do we come up with that? Because there usually are more drunks than there are legalists. And it's easier to win friends and influence them if you preach to the drunks and not the legalists. And it's easy to fill your church full of drunks if you give them a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Now, I ain't saying that preacher was doing that. But you understand what I'm saying. No, the truth of the scripture is this. God Almighty saves whom he will, drunk or legalist. The bondage of the drunkard is just as much bondage as the bondage of the legalist.
Yeah.
Who's not a drunk and never been drunk and ain't never even tasted alcohol.
Yeah.
Bondage is bondage nonetheless.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what Paul's saying. These Galatians hadn't turned back to immorality. They'd turned back to law-keeping. But Paul says still, it's turning back to the what? Weak and beggarly elements.
Amen.
I almost said, who don't like a good drink every now and then? I'm drinking water. See, now some of y'all thought I meant whiskey, didn't you? I did. You understand what I'm trying to get at here. Even this, legalism, idolatry, immorality, they're all the bondage of any of those, all of those three is still equally bondage nonetheless.
Yes,
let me give you another one because people love this, ignorance.
Yeah.
The bondage of ignorance is just as much bondage as the bondage of legalism or the bondage of idolatry or the bondage of immorality. It's still bondage. Some people who seem to think, well, God saves the ignorant. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture, do you? Well, if God saves the ignorant, and let me tell you, like Michael Wurl said, that one fella, he said, and I'm illustrating here, he said, I believe in the blessed doctrine of backsliding.
Yeah.
He said he heard that preacher say that. And Earl or somebody said about the man, yeah, and he probably practices it too. But this is the way people are. They like to find their pet peeve to hammer on. Boy, them folks are going to hell.
Yeah.
Well, the homosexuals, don't you know?
Yeah.
No. No. Every sin will be judged by God Almighty fully and completely. And it'll either be judged in the individual or it will be has been judged in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One or the other. And the sin, the rebellion, the bondage of ignorance is just as much bondage as the bondage of the legalist who knows a lot about the Bible. Doesn't it? Now, just to show you, so there is no mistake, that ignorance is no excuse. Look at what Paul said in Romans 10. I've got to wind this down. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That these were his kinfolk. His brother relations. He cared about them. He's a better man than I am. Folks, they're some of my kinfolk. It's hard liking them, let alone loving them.
Exactly.
Brethren, my heart's desire, and I didn't laugh when I said that either, you'll note. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. Right? But not according to knowledge.
Exactly.
Well, it doesn't matter what you know. Yeah, it does, because it matters who you know.
Amen.
So knowledge does matter.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of what you know, but it is a matter of who you know.
Amen.
Look, for they being what? Now these were Jews who had the law, who were even zealous toward God, the one God,
yeah.
Yahweh. But he says, for they being what? Ignorant. Right there's their problem.
Yes, sir.
The problem with that is this is not an ignorance that can simply be trained out of someone.
Exactly.
Or that they can be trained above. Because look at the problem associated with this ignorance. For they being ignorant of what? God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. In doing that, Paul is saying, have not submitted themselves what? That means to bow down to.
Yes, sir.
Not to get on your knees, but to get on your face in the dirt and confess that you are a beggar on a crap heap.
That's it.
That's where I live, on a dung pile.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I feast on, whether it's legalism, idolatry, immorality, or ignorance. That's my life. That's where I am.
That's it.
A beggar on a dung heap. And look, have not submitted themselves, what? Under the righteousness of God for Christ. And there's no need to read any further. That's it, right there.
Yes, sir, that's it.
Right there. You can believe Calvinism all day long, but if you miss Christ, you've missed God's righteousness. You can reject this or that all day long, but if you miss or reject the person and work of Jesus Christ, you've missed everything. I've missed everything. That kind of ignorance is just as much ignorance and bondage as the vile and the irreligious. Now let's turn to Ephesians 4. Now look at what Paul says. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, and we'll have to talk about this. We won't have time today. What? What's that next word? That you henceforth what? Walk. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Sonship causes a walk. A certain kind of walk.
Yeah.
A walk that's different than the before walk. Right?
Exactly.
There are some folks, they want to hear about grace, but they don't want to hear about walk.
Amen. Right.
They want to talk the talk, but not walk the walk.
Exactly.
And granted, that walk includes repentance. And repentance presupposes what?
Yeah.
Failure.
Exactly.
Sin.
Yeah.
Right? But let me tell you, it's still not the same. As I said before, you've got some people, that is believers, the regenerated, converted, they fall. But you got other people who what? Fall away.
Exactly.
But both fall.
That's right.
Right? It will look, David, the same when they fall. But one falls where? Away. The other one falls, but Scripture says what?
Yeah.
But God upholdeth him with his hand.
Amen.
That ain't fair. You're exactly right. That's called grace.
Yeah. Amen.
God picks and chooses who he wants to save.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I've said this 100 times or more probably. I will continue to say it because sometimes some people just don't get it because of what? Ignorance? They don't know whether they've been bewitched into it or whatever reason. But you did this. And they think they can go out and do that and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe not. King David had a man killed. Now if I think, well, I can do that too, God's got to forgive me. Joe, I'm a fool.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you know what? That may can happen and God may forgive me. But I can't take that for granted.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's it.
As I said, God, even God deals with us where we are, not where we ought to be, or even where we will be one day.
That's right.
That woman at the well, do you not think Jesus Christ knew who she was?
Yeah,
he knew who she was. You not think he knew he was going to die for her just a couple or a year or so later, David? He knew exactly who she was. But what did he tell her? You worship you know not what.
Amen.
Didn't he?
That's it.
He dealt with her where she was. But look, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the what? Vanity. The emptiness of their mind. Having the what? The understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the what?
Yeah.
Ignorance. Both are ignorant.
Yes, sir.
These idolaters over here, Mason.
Yeah.
And these religious people who know Yahweh, who know the law, who know the scriptures, yet both are ignorant. It's a different kind of ignorance, but ignorance nonetheless. But guess what? It's both bondage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Both of it's bondage.
That's right.
And one bondage is not better than another. That's why it's wrong to say I'd rather be a drunk than a legalist.
Exactly.
You know that? I want to be one of the elect of God.
Amen.
I want to be
Amen.
A child of the living God by the election of free reigning grace. And that child and every one of them will be then in God's good time. In the time appointed of the Father, they will be placed into His family as a son. And all of that based upon the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So no matter what kind... See, it doesn't matter where I used to be. It doesn't matter what it was. Whether it was any of these things, legalism, idolatry, immorality, ignorance. No matter where I was, if I turn, if God brings me out of ignorance, but then I turn back to legalism, what good is it? It's all bondage. If God brought me out of immorality and I turned back to what? Ignorance.
Yeah.
Joe, what good is it?
Exactly.
No good. It's still what?
Yeah.
Bondage.
Yeah. That's it.
And the mind of the flesh says, but if I'm one of God's elect, I'll be okay. That's not right. Do you know that? If you're one of God's elect, He will correct you.
Amen.
And I've noticed something. We'll look at that when we begin, God willing, when we begin to look at the responsibilities that accompany the adoption.
Yeah.
I don't do something wrong over here at this specific time, and then God sends me someone, however it might be, to warn me of that, and then 20 years from now, I decide to straighten up. The messenger comes to warn you at the time God's pleased to straighten you up.
Yes, sir.
David didn't dilly-dally around when Nathan said, you're the man. What did David say? You're right.
That's what he said.
When Paul told Peter, you're to blame, do we find Peter bellyaching and griping about it? But I'm an apostle. I'm okay. I'm one of the elect.
Yeah, that's it.
Do we?
Yes, sir.
Whenever Peter denied our Lord three times, and was simply looked at by Christ, did he say, well, I think now I'm going back to fishing. Is that what he said that? No. He went out and what? Wept bitterly.
Amen.
You see, if God's opened your eyes, He's actually opened your eyes.
Yes, sir.
And we are dull to many things, but when He sends you that sinner to tell you that you're still a sinner and that you're wrong, that's the time He's ordained for you to be corrected.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's when it'll happen. That's when it does happen.
Yeah.
It don't happen 100 years from now.
Exactly.
What? At the time appointed. How do I know that? Look at what Paul says. Galatians, we'll quit with this. Look at it. Verse 17 of chapter 6. And we'll have to look at the context later. From henceforth.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Just those two words. From. Let me look at it. Well, I've done lost it. Where was that? Yeah, 17. From henceforth. Paul didn't say, well, now, thank God, maybe 5 years from now, y'all will understand this. Maybe after 20 more years of me hammering on this, maybe you'll get it. Or they say, from henceforth, let no man trouble me.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says? You've been warned.
Yes, sir.
If you're one of God's, you'll turn back to where you ought to be.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what he's saying? That's what he's talking about, isn't it?
Yes,
and you know what? That's the way it works.
Amen.
You know why? Because I've been there.
Yes.
I mean, I had a man come up to me one time and told me, you're the man. Well, I know. What, do you think I went out and killed somebody? That's for me to know and you to find out. A man came to me and said, you're the man. Deal with it. And you know what I had to do? Deal with it. Not say, well, I'll deal with it next week. I'll deal with it next year. I couldn't help but deal with it. Why? When? Right then.
Yeah.
Why? Because once God did send that man to me, seeing that my eyes were open,
yeah,
my ears did hear, and my heart did perceive, I love and I believe my God. He was warning me. He says, don't do this. What do God's people say? I got to try to quit doing that.
Exactly.
Don't you? I got to try to quit doing that. I need to go apologize to somebody if I need to apologize to somebody.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
I need to ask somebody to forgive me if I've done them wrong.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way it works. You don't wait 20 years from now.
No.
You know? We don't even treat dogs like that. If your dog messes in the floor, don't beat him next week for it.
Exactly.
He don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm no smarter than that.
That's exactly it.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you warn people when it's happening, not 20 years down the road.
Exactly.
You know? You understand what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people want to do. They want to point way back there in the past. Well, let me tell you, there's things way back there in the past some of them don't even know about.
Yeah.
You know, that only me and God knows about, and I hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
You got some of them skeletons in your closet?
Oh, no.
But you know, that's what it means to be a son. Not just a child of God,
exactly,
but a son of God. You call Him, even in the midst of failure, you still know Him as what? Papa, Father. As it said when David, remember Earl talking about David up there scratching at them gateposts of the Philistines, slobbering down his beard, acting like a crazy man, so they'd take him in. And they did. He did that for almost a year and a half. But at the end of all of that stupid nonsense and all of that rebellion, it said David Almighty, he turned, he trusted in the Lord, what? He is God.
Amen.
Because that's where it's at.
Yes, sir.
Father, teach us these things by experience. Yet, Lord, we know that sometimes we learn hard. We're hard-headed, stubborn. We snuff at the wind, kick up our heels like a mule. But yet we know you're faithful to your promises and your purpose and your Son. It's in his name I thank you. Amen.